God made us women for a reason. He delights in his daughters. And when he sees somebody willing to run, you know, step out of their comfort zone and be his princess before others, there's something very pleasing to the Lord about that. And we have about 15 minutes for lunch. And Tracy gave me more time, but you know, I'm just kind of scooting things back. I want to leave you with some more things because we talked about the voice of truth. And everything about that song is what I'm going to say here. So these are some helpful things. Because you know what science, what's that? Oh, they do need longer. Okay, a little bit longer. Not that, and you're all were like rejoicing that I was only going 15 minutes and now, oh, dang. But we hear a lot of voices. And what I want to give you now is some very practical tools. Because what science has proven is, and so much what Tracy said, is that we realize now that our soul is still open prey to the enemy, but we're bringing it back to Jesus, right? But we're realizing that's why we struggle, even though we're spirit-filled Christians. We want the Holy Spirit in our spirit to start restoring more of our soul. That's the point I want to make. But when the enemy, the thing is that science can't do is they can tell you, don't think this way, don't do this, you'll retrain your thoughts, but they don't have any clue about spiritual bondage. And when we broke that veil, that was a step for you to break spiritual bondage, that you are on, the enemy is on alert, you're not going his way anymore. That and it, the science can't do for you. I am all about counseling and therapy. We send people to professional Christian counselors. Please hear my heart. I was in Christian counseling. I went to 4 sessions as I was walking out of my bulimia. But I want to tell you one thing, and I mean this with all of my love, my heart, and I work, like I said, in a medical office. Counselors are helpful, and they are healing, and please go to them, but only Jesus delivers and saves and heals. They can help you, but he sets free. And it always has to go back to him. But if you're on medication today, please hear me, and you guys are all my witness. Do not go off your medication. Because it's God's gift to you to get to a place where your brain can settle down, where you can start dealing with these things. And when it's time for you, should it ever be time for you, because it may never be time for you, when you sense, okay, I would like to start to lighten my medicative load, you do that under direct care of a doctor. Okay, everybody heard me. You do not go off on your medication on your own will or accord. You stay on it. One of the most staunchest, strongest prayer warriors I know takes a low dose of bipolar medicine. And God has not released her from doing that. He is all about helping us any way we can get help. That's the sovereign love of God that gives medicine wisdom. They now are discovering the things of the Bible, like Tracy was saying, because of God's love for the lost, whether they ever come to know him or not. Do you hear me? But that song is just so perfect. So many voices. Your thoughts don't come to you one and then the next one. They just come as a flood, don't they? I'm asking you, this is just practical advice out of God's word, how to start to handle walking with the veil lifted. Because you're going to, before you get to this room, to the kitchen, you're going to have 40 million thoughts, right? That's just the truth of it. Some of you have already been tested that the veil is not really lifted. You went to the bathroom, you came out, and you just said, really, nothing really happened. That's a lie. You're just taking the first step or a step of many steps because you've been on a journey. But in that soul area, body, soul, and spirit, we hear a lot of voices. And the Bible tells us there are 3 voices that are constantly speaking to us in our thought lives. The first one is the enemy. That's temptation. And you know what? Jesus said he's the ruler of this world. That's the Gospel of John, where Jesus makes that statement. Says it over and over again. So you can clump in there all the world thoughts, all the thoughts that you've got to look a certain way, you got to have this kind of marriage, your life isn't like what you see on TV or in the movies, so it's less than. That's the enemy in the, his world system coming at you in your thoughts and just telling you you're less than, or you don't, you're not living up to. Am I right? Those thoughts don't come, oh, I'm going to think this thought. It just comes because we still live in this broken, fallen world till Jesus comes again. So we hear the enemy's voice in our thoughts. And then we hear our own thoughts. That's where it gets confusing, ladies, because all these thoughts come to us literally in the sound with our voice in them. Isn't it, don't your thoughts, if you were to just really take a moment, think of, it's like your voice talking to you. So you have thoughts. You have your own thoughts. You have your own stuff. You have good thoughts and bad thoughts. But it's your thoughts. But where we get confused is that there's a third person that is speaking to us constantly, and that is God. And isn't that been the confusion for us? They all sound like my thoughts. Which one is God? Which one is the Holy Spirit speaking to me, nudging me? Which one is me? And which one's of the enemy? Isn't that been the thing that's tripped us up? Now, some of us have grown into a degree we know who's speaking to us. But others of us are just starting out because we've let our soul get bombarded by our thoughts. It's really clouded things up. But what we did today is we lifted that veil and said, I'm pitching this thing in Jesus' name. And you may have to go home today and say, you know what? I took that off, but you know, it's not that you're doing it again, but you might need that physical action. It's out of here. I'm totally in believing. You got to do something physical. Again, lock yourself in that secret place called the boudoir and just go, no, the little kids are outside. They can wait 1 second while you get your veil off. All right? You'll be a better mama. You get the veil off than going out there with the veil back on and trying to fix, you know, am I, get what I'm saying? The enemy is always, and the world is always speaking to us. The Lord is always speaking to us. That's a surprise to us because we think he's silent so much of the time. But you know what? I tell you, he's got words to you every second of every day. And we have ourselves. How do we know the difference? Well, the Bible's very clear, and you guys know this. Philippians 4:8 tells us what the word of the Lord sounds like. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, is there virtue? Is there anything praiseworthy? Think on these things. That's how Jesus sounds. James goes even further. James 3:15 through 17 first tells us about the enemy's voice, and we'll do that in a minute. But he says, the wisdom that comes from above is peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, and without hypocrisy. If you start your day and just say, and a thought comes, and you want to know where is this coming from? This is the voice of Jesus to you. You know, even when he speaks hard things to you, he does it with such love. He never condemns you. He's not the one beating you up with guilt because he knows it's a finished work on the cross. He knows what he did for you. He's just waiting for you to get in alignment. That's what we're doing this weekend. So when a thought comes to me, oh, I wish my boss wouldn't do that. Why does she always have to be so irritated? Is that the voice of Jesus? Really, I'm just saying. Lord, I don't receive this thought. Because you know what? That used to be part of my soul, but I'm getting healed now. I don't have to receive it or agree it with it or partner with it anymore. Some of that partnering that we've done, that we think that's just the way we are, our anger and our fear issue, that's just, I've got to learn to cope with it, that's the way I am, that's a lie. You've just given place to it enough. Because Paul tells us, don't give place to the adversary. That literally means, that word in Ephesians there, the Greek is topos, where we get topography. Don't give the enemy ground. And when we threw our veils off, we gave the enemy notice, I'm giving you no more ground. So when a thought comes to me that is not full of peace and love and mercy and grace and goodness, I don't have to go there anymore. I literally say, you know what? I am not receiving this. Because it's not in me anymore. It's from the outside. I'm wanting the Holy Spirit who is in me to take more ground, and I'm only going to listen to the voice of the Lord. A thought comes to me and says, you know, that guy is really hot. Well, that might be my own thought. That might not even be the enemy. What am I saying? We're on our own worst enemies, right? Who cares where it came from? It's not a godly thought. Really, don't take the time, okay, is this me or is this a devil? Is this me or is this a devil? Because then you start being, well, if it's me, then I'm really awful. You are awful without Jesus. Let's just take a load off. That's the truth of it. He's our everything. He's our righteousness. But if that thought comes, that guy is really hot. You know, I'm not going to take that second look. I am just not going there. I love my husband. I don't receive that. I am not going to partner with that thought, and I'm not going to give place to you to it. And you know what tripped me up for so long from really being free in my fantasy life is these thoughts would come, and I didn't know if they, I knew they were from the pit, but I knew I wanted them. The trouble is I dallied around with them, and then I couldn't get free of them. But when the Lord said to me, brought me back, and I knew this as a baby Christian, it's one of the first things you're taught. We are all tempted, but it is not sin until what? We give place to it, till we entertain it, till we give it a room in our soul. So it doesn't matter if it's you thinking the thought or the enemy, because our thoughts can very much align with the things of the world. Lust, dissatisfaction, complaint, pity. Who cares where it came from? It's not lining up with what Jesus would say to me. I don't receive it. But the mere thought, the mere fact that I had that thought is not sin. Somebody needs to hear this. Some of you got this already. You've got this down. But when you're tempted by these perverse sexual thoughts, and some of us out of clear blue, you could be in the Word of God, and this disgusting thought will come. And we'll think, oh, God, forgive me. No, just say, I don't receive this. You have not sinned. It is only when you handle it and you give a place to it. That was so freeing to me because my tempting thoughts were coming at me all the time and I was blaming myself for them and I felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. But once I realized these are coming from the outside and they're not lying, even if they're me or the devil, I don't want them. I don't have to have them. I break the agreement. That's when freedom started coming. This is very practical. Are you tracking with me? The fact that you had the thought is not sin. What you do with it. And those times when I fell and I gave place to it for a minute, an hour, or 3 days, or 4 weeks, the best and only way out of that muck and mire is go back to what we taught last night. I am forgiven. I am sorry, God. I receive it, but that's end of it. The veil is off and I don't have to partner with this and I'm not. And that was the Bible say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But we've got to understand that temptation in itself is not sin. Otherwise, you'll be beaten up before you even get out of the track. And what, again, does the voice of the Lord sound? What's good? What's noble? He has only good thoughts to you. We read about his agape for you. He cherishes you. He relishes you. When that thought comes, why did I do that? Why was I so stupid again? Maybe I'm the only one that's ever had those thoughts. I hear the giggles. No, I know. You know what? That's not from Jesus. I don't have to listen to it. That's maybe what I think about myself. That may be the honest truth. The devil didn't have to do anything with it, but that was my thought. But you know what? Jesus says, the voice of truth is what I'm going to believe. This is very practical. At first, it's going to be tough sledding, ladies. We're not used to living this way. But one thing about Jesus' healing, especially, you know, I was talking to somebody earlier, if you've got a lot of stuff in your life going on, you pick the one thing. Okay, I'm not going to be critical anymore. Don't worry about lust. Don't worry about sexual thoughts, don't worry about money thoughts. You start dealing with that. You get healthy and whole. You take ground back from the enemy, and then the Lord will start multiplying the healing. But you got to start with the one. The thing is, we think we're defeated before the get-go. And we think we're defeated because we think the temptation itself is sin. It is not. Jesus was tempted just like we are. All those perverse thoughts that have ever crossed your mind crossed his mind first. Where he had the victory without sin is he just did not receive them because he knew who he was. And that is what he's made us. Every song we've sung has just only spoken truth. It's that simple, but you have to start somewhere. The voice of truth. And what does the devil's voice sound like? We know. James 3 really says it clearly. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This is James 3, 14, 16. This wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. When you have a thought, when something's coming at you and you just sense confusion, anybody know what it's like to just feel confusion? You could be having a great day and all of a sudden confusion comes. I'm not partnering with confusion. My God is the Prince of Peace, and where he is, there is no confusion. This is practical Christianity. This is rubber meets the road Christianity. I don't have to think the old way, but you're going to be so overwhelmed at first. I just know the tactics of the enemy and just the habits we've built up. And those brain waves, that's the miracle of it. The bondage, spiritual bondage is broken. But, you know, they say in the brain that when you take a pattern of thought and you do it, let's say it's guilt. I'm just guilty. I'm guilty. I never can rise above. I'm no good. It literally creates a rut in your brain. But all that can be reversed. The trouble is science can't bring that reversal. They can bring a coping mechanism. But our God is the deliverer, just as I said earlier. And we know that. But we start at one time at a time, one step at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. What is the thing that trips you up the most in your thought life? The veil is now lifted when you go out of there and it wants to come back. I don't receive it. Sometimes I would just feel like I was swatting flies. I don't receive it. And when it seemed to just be unrelenting, Linda, would you pray for me? Then I go to somebody that I can talk to and say, would you pray for me? But I want to tell you, ultimately, it's going to be your stance against the enemy. In Ephesians 6, having done all, stand. And what are we standing on? The word of God. I only want to hear Jesus' voice. In miracle of miracles, the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Lord would become clearer and clearer in your life as these confusing, nasty, as it were, flies. Do you know the name Beelzebub, which is a name for the enemy? And I'm not glorifying in any way, just exposing him for the puny, creepy cred he is. Is Lord, it means in the English, Lord of the flies. And don't our thoughts just swirl around us like a bunch of flies? And you say, you know what? I've got the pest strip here and I'm not receiving it. Whatever works for you, but you got to take it one step at a time. And when you falter, what are you going to do? The blood of Jesus. Lord, I am sorry. I feel I've given place to this. And right now, in your power, in agreement with your word, I break any agreement I've made that I've gone back to old places. In Jesus' name, I'm clean. And it's going to be the hardest thing for you, but you walk out of that place of just saying that prayer, wherever it is you say, Lord, we're starting fresh. You keep hammering the enemy, it will break. And I tell you, some of you will break like that in areas and you'll move on to something else. Some of it's going to be a little bit of struggle, but freedom will come. And if I have anything to share with you, is that his God's worth is true. I'm not all I want to be. He has so much more work to do on me, but I am not the woman I was 12 years ago. I'm not the woman I was this last October. God, I'm pointing to Linda because she prayed for me. Something broke off this last October. Oh, the freedom is good. And it's so much easier. It's simply recognizing who's talking to me right now. I don't receive you, my own flesh, enemy, but I receive the voice of the Lord. That simple. And that's what it means when Paul says, bringing every thought captive. And that's all I'm going to say about this right now. But let's stop in prayer. Let's make some determinations. Lord, help us to really be quick and ready to recognize where these thoughts are coming from. I pray for just the powerful grace of the Holy Spirit to just illuminate what works for each woman to say, you know what, I have thought this way for 70 years, but I don't have to anymore. Jesus has lifted my veil, and I'm not receiving these thoughts anymore. And for those who are going to face a struggle because it's become their very, it's not only been a habit to them to think this way, it has become their very identity. In Jesus' name, when we prayed and we threw that veil out of the room, we said, amen, we're agreeing with Jesus more than anything else. And every stronghold of darkness is broken by the authority of Jesus Christ in this room, in this moment. Lord, give the ladies just an encouraging word to know, I can do this in Jesus' power. He can help me to recognize what's coming at me, and I don't have to agree with it anymore. I don't have to receive it. Lord, I just pray for that a double portion of grace. You know, ladies, while your eyes are closed, the Lord gave Marjorie a verse earlier in the day, and it's, where was it out of, Marge? She might have gone out. But what was it? Do you have it there? Can you just read it out over us? Just stay there and just read it out. Just have your eyes closed. Let this speak to you. Just receive. That was the word of the Lord to you. You're not a slave to your junk. You're a prisoner of hope. And the Lord is restoring double all across this room where there's been a waterless pit. You know, while our eyes are closed, somebody's hand automatically went. If that's you, you've been in a waterless pit and you just want to be a prisoner of hope, just lift your hand up. I'm not even looking. This word is for you. And we agree with it for your life all over this room. In Jesus' name. Let's all say this together. Amen. Amen. Now let's go eat.